Welcome to Community Church's Sermon Podcast. We invite you to visit us online at www.ccfdl.org to learn more about our church and our ministry in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And now here is Adam Utecht, Senior Pastor at Community Church.
There is a famous geyser in Yellowstone National Park that erupts very consistently, very repeated. What geyser are we talking about? Say it out loud. Old Faithful. Here's a picture of it. Old Faithful. Though a recent online blog asks the question, is Old Faithful still faithful? Here's what the authors say. Old Faithful predictably erupts for 3 minutes, 20 times per day. There's usually a 90-minute gap between eruptions, and rangers can predict those eruptions within 10 minutes with 90% accuracy. 90%! That's pretty good. You can count on Old Faithful 90% of the time. That's pretty good. I think 90, that's like an A minus, right? That's not going to be pretty good if you're a bank teller. At the end of the day, and your boss asks you to make sure that all of your drawer with your cash is all lined up. Yeah, I've got it. 90% accurate. How's that going to work out at the bank for you? Not very well. What about in relationships? What about in your marriage? Honey, I'm going to be 90% faithful to you. That doesn't work, does it? No. If you're not 100% faithful, you're not faithful, right? Is there anyone, just think about all the different examples of this. Is there anything in this world that is 100% faithful? Is there anyone or anything perfectly faithful? God is. God is faithful. Today we're going to continue in our summer series called what? God is. We've been studying the attributes of God. Today we will see God is faithful 100% of the time, always. Look at the Psalms. Psalm 89, verse 8 says about God, your faithfulness surrounds you. Psalm 36, verse 5, Lord, your faithful love reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. But what does it mean that God is faithful? That's how we're going to start the message today. It's important that we are defining God's faithfulness. So we're going to start by defining God's faithfulness. What is God's faithfulness? First in your outline, God does what he promises. Aren't you glad? God does what he promises. That shows he is faithful. That's what it means. When we say God is faithful, first that means he does what he promises. Now, you think about people, human beings, you and I, even the most reliable, faithful people cannot always do what they promise. They might get sick unexpectedly. Or what they promise might accidentally slip their mind, like what happened last night. Last night, my youngest asked me to make this special, what we call overnight oats. It's a little breakfast in a glass, and she asked if I would make it before I went to bed. I said, yeah, I will. I'll do it. And then I forgot. And this morning, she came downstairs. Where's my overnight oats? Oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot. That happens, doesn't it? Am I an unfaithful person? I hope I'm not an unfaithful person. But in that moment, I was unfaithful. I didn't do what I promised to do because I forgot, right? We are fallible human beings. We forget. There are consequences. There are situations that prevent us from doing what we say we will do, not even because we mean to. Sometimes it just happens. Human beings are faulty. We aren't in control of all things. We aren't perfect. But here's the good news. God's faithfulness is an all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, and sovereign faithfulness. So nothing stops him from doing what he promises. Does God ever forget? No. God never forgets. Does anything prevent God from doing what he says he will do? No. He's all-powerful. He is sovereign. Does anything catch God by surprise? No, he's all-knowing. So God can be completely and 100% faithful. So God always, everybody say always. He always does what he says he will do. Always. God is faithful. Look at Isaiah 46, verses 10 and 11. This is what the Lord says. He says, my plan will take place, and I will do all my will. Yes, I have spoken, so I will also bring it about. I have planned it, I will also do it. That's pretty confident, isn't it? God confidently will do all he says he will do. So think about in the Old Testament when the world was wicked, terribly wicked, and the Lord said, I'm going to destroy the earth with a flood. Every living creature will die in a flood. And the Lord, does he do it? Yeah, he does it. He tells Noah he's going to do it. He tells Noah exactly what's going to happen. And Noah does what the Lord calls him to do. He builds an ark. And all those who are on the ark, the Lord also says he will keep them alive. You wonder if after all those days and nights of rain, and then finally when the rain stops and the earth is covered with this water, and even when the water begins to recede, you just wonder if, did Noah question God's faithfulness? Did he say, we're not getting any signs here that we're going to survive this. Maybe they were running out of food. I don't know, but the Lord promised he would keep them alive. Do you remember what happens when the waters recede? Noah sends out an animal to go check out the scene, right? To see if there's any dry ground. He sends out a dove. Remember this? And the dove comes back with what? An olive branch. The olive branch is a symbol of God's faithfulness. God promised they would stay alive, and this olive branch was a symbol of that. That's why the artwork on this day, particular service, sermon, is an olive branch. Take a look again. You see that? God is faithful. The olive branch is a symbol of God's faithfulness. God always does what he says he will do because God is faithful. Theologian Wayne Grudem defines God's faithfulness. Here's what he says. God will always do what he has said and fulfill what he has promised. James Boyce adds this. Faithfulness means trustworthiness or reliability. Those who are faithful do what they say they will do. Because God is faithful, he is perfectly trustworthy and reliable. He is a God who made covenant promises with his people. We see it through the Old Testament. We see how he made a covenant promise with Noah that he would never again destroy the earth with a flood. And what was the sign of the covenant? A rainbow. Unfortunately, that's been hijacked by our culture today to mean something totally different. But God's promise was he would never destroy the earth with a flood again, and this sign was the rainbow. He also made a covenant promise to Abraham that he would make him a great nation. The whole world would be blessed through him in Genesis chapter 12. And David, God made a covenant promise with David in 2 Samuel 7 that one in his line would reign forever on a throne. Who do you think he's talking about? Jesus. God fulfills every promise of every covenant that he makes with his people. God is faithful. Let's say it together. God is faithful. His faithfulness means he does what he promises. Second, God's faithfulness means God is consistent, unfailing, and true. Arthur Pink describes God's faithfulness. He says this, God never forgets, never fails, never falters, never forfeits his word. God is true. His word of promise is sure in all his relations with his people. God is faithful. He may be safely relied upon. Isn't that good news? So good news. God is not like us. God is not like humans. God is not fickle. He's not indecisive. He's all-knowing. He's ever-present. He's all-powerful. And God does not change. He is immutable. That's the word for God does not change. A.W. Tozer says this, if God is unchanging, it follows that he could not be unfaithful, since that would require him to change. So all his words and acts must be and must remain faithful. I never thought about that before this week, that because God is unchanging, he must always be faithful. Because you think about it, to be unfaithful is to change, to go back on our word, to not be true or to not be loyal to someone anymore, to give up, to quit. That's to change, and God doesn't change. God is immutable. He does not change, and therefore he is always faithful. It is who he is. He is faithful. This is why in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, it says this, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." Think about that. God is so faithful. It is who he is. He cannot deny himself. He will always be faithful. Arthur Pink points this out. He says, faithfulness is an essential part of the divine character. Faithfulness is a defining characteristic of God. He is always faithful. He cannot not be faithful. How's that for a double negative? As you hear this message, you hear about God's faithfulness, you might start to question, because in your life, it has felt like God has not been faithful. You might question the faithfulness of God. Why is that? Why do we question God's faithfulness? I believe it's because we have a misunderstanding of the nature of God's faithfulness. We think God's faithfulness is focused on us. And when bad things happen, we question God's faithfulness. We wrongly believe that God's faithfulness means that he gives us what we want when we want it. And that's a misunderstanding of God's faithfulness. Now, we often use this language where good things happen, right? But when something good happens, we've been praying for it. We've been asking the Lord for it. If we've been praying for healing and we are healed, we say, oh, God gave me healing. He's so faithful. Or maybe we have a financial need and God meets that need and we say, God is so faithful. And is that true? Yeah, he is faithful. And it is good to be healed, to have financial provision. Those are evidences of God's grace, God's blessing in our lives. That's a good thing. But listen, hear me closely. God's faithfulness is not shown in giving us what we want when we want it. This misunderstanding easily leads to a false gospel called the prosperity gospel, which is very prevalent, not only in our nation, but all over the world. And the problem with the prosperity gospel, or the name it, claim it gospel, is it presumes promises God has never made. It presumes promises God has never made. Promises to make me healthy or wealthy or happy in this life, in the things of this world. But this is a false gospel, because God has not specifically promised any of these things to his people. He's actually promised that we would suffer for being faithful to Christ. So by claiming healing, saying, I can claim this, and I will claim this over myself or other people, by claiming healing or wealth or prosperity, we are putting promises in God's mouth. That's wrong. It's a false gospel. And it hurts people. Why? Because it creates in them an expectation that God will give them what they want, and when he doesn't do that, when he doesn't deliver, when they don't receive what they want when they want it, it is either one, because I didn't have enough faith, or two, God is not faithful. He's failed. He's failed me. That's a double problem, isn't it? But it's based on a false premise. God's faithfulness has nothing to do with giving me what I want when I want it. You know, sometimes God's faithfulness is withholding that which I want in order to give me what I really need. Has that ever happened to you? We need discernment about these things. There are false teachings out there we need to be on guard against. It doesn't matter how we feel or what we might believe God has impressed on our hearts. We cannot absolutely be confident that he has promised something that he has not made clear to us in his word. We got to be on guard. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be discerning about false gospels. God's faithfulness is not about me. His faithfulness is about him. His faithfulness is about him. And I love that God is faithful. Aren't you glad that God is faithful? I'm so glad he is. But how exactly is God faithful? I'm so glad you asked. Ready? Here we go. Number two, God's faithfulness is seen. God's faithfulness is seen. I actually had 4 points initially, but I was like, the sermon's going to get too long, so we got to go with 3. So I included that 4th one in the going deeper questions, so go grab that. And there's other ways God's faithfulness is seen. I had to limit it to 3 in Scripture. You ready? Number 1, God's faithfulness is seen in our suffering. in our suffering, God's faithfulness is seen. Take your Bible, if you have a Bible, I hope you do. Take your Bible, turn to Lamentations chapter 3. We're just going to look at verses 19 through 24. It's page 730 in the CSB, if you grabbed one of those off the cart. Lamentations chapter 3. You may not have had your personal quiet time in Lamentations recently. It's in the Old Testament, all right? It's sort of a downer of a book. It feels like, wow, this is really sad. There's a lot of despair in this book because the context of Lamentations is the fall of Jerusalem, the destruction of Solomon's temple. It is a horrifying event in the life of Israel. For the people of Israel, life was over. They lost their place. They lost their land. They lost their temple, their place to worship God. They had seen their relatives murdered by Babylon's army. It is a horrible, horrible time. And Jeremiah, the human author of Lamentations, is lamenting. That's why it's called Lamentations. Lamenting these horrible events. And in chapter 3, if you read the beginning of chapter 3, it's dark. It's sad. It's depressing. You can read that on your own because it really does help to frame these verses we're going to look at. Look down at verses 19 through 20. Look at this. This just gives us a taste of it. Verses 19 and 20. Remember my affliction and my homelessness, the wormwood and the poison. I continually remember them and have become depressed. So the bitterness, it's the wormwood here in verse 19, the bitterness of Jerusalem's destruction and the exile of God's people is almost too much to bear. He cannot forget it. Those images are burned in his mind. He has become depressed. The ESV puts it this way: my soul is bowed down within me. This is real suffering. But in verse 21, we see a turn. We see a turn. Look at verse 21. Yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your, what does it say? Faithfulness. I say, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will put my hope in him. What is the source of Jeremiah's hope in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of destruction all around him? What is the source of his hope? The Lord is faithful, and he has faithful love. God is faithful. The people of God, Israel, they had been unfaithful to the Lord. They had gone after idols. They were wicked. Their wickedness had led to their exile in Babylon. It's what they deserved. So is there any hope for the people of Israel? Yes. Despite Israel's unfaithfulness, God remains faithful. He cannot not be faithful. He is faithful. And we need to know this because this morning, despite our unfaithfulness, God is faithful. That's good news for us. Maybe you've really blown it. This morning you're here and you know you've really blown it. You've messed up big time. And you need to know the third line of verse 22 is true. His mercies never end. And we're going to talk about God's mercy next week. God is merciful. We're going to focus in on that next Sunday. But you need to know that despite your failures, God never fails. Even though you didn't do what you said you would do, God will do what he says always. He is faithful despite our unfaithfulness. Amen? He is faithful despite our unfaithfulness. Here's what Arthur Pink says. He says, God is faithful in sending sorrow as well as in giving joy. The faithfulness of God is a truth to be confessed by us, not only when we are at ease, but also when we are smarting under the sharpest rebuke. That's Israel. That's Jeremiah in this moment. Jeremiah is doing this in Lamentations chapter 3. He's confessing God's faithfulness under the sharpest rebuke when it's what we deserve. Or maybe this morning, maybe you're suffering physical, emotional, financial stress through no fault of your own. We live in a world broken by sin, and we will suffer as a result of that. 2023, maybe this year, has not been a year you hoped it would be. You thought it would be a year of relief, and it's been a year of pain and suffering. You know, Job in the Old Testament was a righteous man. He followed the Lord. He trusted the Lord. And yet, he suffered immensely. You could read about it at the beginning of Job. And despite all of that, what does Job say in Job chapter 1, verse 21? He says, "The Lord give and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Why does Job bless the Lord in suffering? Because he knows the Lord is faithful and he is God. In the New Testament, Peter urges the suffering church. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. Here's what he says. He says, "So then, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust themselves to a faithful Creator while doing what is good." If you're suffering today, remember, God is faithful. Put your hope in him. Wait on him. He is good. He knows what he's doing. God shows himself faithful in our suffering. Second, God is faithful in his love. In his love. Now take your Bible and turn back to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34, I want us to see verses 5 through 8. Exodus 34, it's the second book of the Bible, Genesis. Exodus 34, verses 5 through 8. The context of this is Moses. He desires to see the face of the Lord Almighty, and the Lord says, "No one can see my face and live, but I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. And when I pass by, you'll see my back," so to speak. So what happens? Let's look at verse 5 of Exodus 34, starting in verse 5. "The Lord came down in a cloud, stood with him," this is Moses there, "and proclaimed his name, the Lord. The Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed, 'The Lord is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in faithful love and truth, maintaining faithful love to 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity, rebellion, and sin. But he will not leave the guilty unpunished, bringing the consequences of the father's iniquity on the children and grandchildren to the third and fourth generation.'" So the Lord here is revealing who he is. What does the Almighty God reveal himself to be? He is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in what? Not just love, but faithful love and truth. You see, they're tied together. Love and truth are faithful, love and truth are tied together. And then he repeats himself in verse 7. If he wasn't clear enough, he repeats himself, maintaining faithful love to 1,000 generations. God is also just. He is righteous to bring judgment on the guilty. And what is Moses' response to the revelation of God? Look at verse 8. Verse 8, real short verse here. "Moses immediately knelt low on the ground and worshiped." Moses postured himself in humility and worshiped the Almighty God. God is worthy of all of our worship because he is great. He is a God of faithful love. Now, this word, faithful love, is one word in Hebrew, chesed. You got to, like, get some phlegm when you say that. And I want us all to do it. Just don't look at each other when you say it. Okay, you ready? We're all going to say it out loud together. You go, can you do it? You ready? It's a real word. It's a Hebrew word called chesed. We'll explain it in a second. Everybody say chesed on the count of three. One, two, three. Chesed. Oh, that wasn't good enough. I'm going to try it again. Again, maybe you need to cover your mouth. On the count of three. You ready? One, two, three. Chesed. Okay. You nailed it. All right. What is this word? What is this word? Daryl Bach says you can't sum it up in one word or even two. Commentator, scholar Daryl Bach, he says this: chesed is wrapping up in itself all of the positive attributes of God: love, covenant faithfulness, mercy, grace, kindness, loyalty. It's all in that one word. What a great word. Faithful love. Chesed is one of the primary descriptions of God's goodness in the Old Testament. Did you know that? Chesed is found in over 120 times in the book of Psalms alone. It is found throughout Psalm 136. Let me give you an example. Psalm 136, verse 1. Here it is. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His chesed endures forever. His faithful love endures forever. The second line that I just read, his faithful love endures forever, repeats 26 times in that psalm. And some of you thought contemporary worship songs were repetitive. Why do we sing the same line over and over again? I'm not sure we've sung a line 26 times, the same line over and over again, but it's in the Bible, so chill. But there's an emphasis here, isn't there? Repetition is emphasis in Psalm 136. The emphasis couldn't be clearer, could it? God is faithful in his love. Faithful in his love. We got to contrast that with human love, contemporary human love. Yeah, human love is based on feelings. I just love her so much. I love you for the feeling you give me. You know, there's even songs about it, right? Ooga chaka, ooga chaka. Hooked on a feeling. I'm high on believing. You're in love with me. It's a feeling, right? That's an old song too, right? It's really going off the rails now. But that's human love, isn't it? I mean, that's the way we function in our 21st century culture, in our context. When that feeling of love is gone, the love is gone. That's not faithful love. That's not love at all. That's not God's love. God doesn't fall out of love with his people. God's love is committed. It's a committed love. It's a steadfast love. It's an unconditional love. It is a faithful love. Aren't you glad? God's love is a faithful love. God is faithful. He's faithful in our suffering. God is faithful in his love. Third, God is faithful when we face temptation. Did you know that? God is faithful when we face temptation. I'm just going to have you look at the screen. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, no temptation has come upon you except what is common to humanity. But, here it is, God is what? That was really weak. I'll give you another chance. But God is what? God is faithful in the context of temptation. How is he faithful? Look at it. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to bear it. Now, there are many temptations that we face in this world, but all of them are common. They're common. Did you know that? These aren't new temptations. The temptation to crave power and to be gods is as old as Genesis 3, the Garden of Eden. The temptation to be jealous, to murder, is as old as Genesis 4, Cain and Abel. The temptation of lust and greed and idolatry and sexual immorality, all those things, is as old as Genesis 6, where it says this, human wickedness was widespread on the earth and every inclination of the human mind was nothing but evil all the time. That's a pretty comprehensive statement, isn't it? No temptation has come upon you except what is common to humanity. There is no new temptation that is impossible to resist. We need to know that. And here's the good news of 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is faithful when we are tempted. When we face temptation, God is faithful. How is he faithful? Number one, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Number two, he will provide a way out. God is good. He is for us. He is loyal to us. He is not against us. He does not want us to give in to temptation and bear the consequences of sin. Therefore, he will not allow us to be tempted beyond our ability. So there's really no excuse. The temptation was just too strong for me. No, it wasn't. God won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. And he is faithful. He will provide a way out. His faithfulness means he will always do this for us as we face temptations in this world. God is faithful when we are tempted. So we've seen the faithfulness of God. There's so many other ways God shows his faithfulness in Scripture. I challenge you to look for it as you read God's word. So what now? What do we need to do? There's two responses. So we need to respond to God's faithfulness. We need to respond to God's faithfulness. Two ways to respond. First, trust in God. Trust in God. Now for you, trusting in God may mean crossing the line of faith for the first time. Turning your back on a life of rebellion and receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never done that before. You know, we talked earlier about the covenants, promises God made in the Old Testament. But all those covenants really point to one ultimate covenant. I saved that one for last. The new covenant. Jesus talked about this with his disciples in the upper room the night before he went to the cross. During the Last Supper, Jesus took the cup. And what did he say? Luke 22, verse 20, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. So what is this covenant? Jesus paid it all. He paid the debt in full for all of our sins, and he paid it with his life. So we need to repent of our sins and put our faith in Jesus alone. And if we do, the covenant means that we will be forgiven. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. And Jesus shed his blood. He gave his life as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Hebrews 9:15 explains, look at this. Therefore, Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. The only way that we can receive eternal life is by putting our faith in Jesus and the work he did for us. Not our good works. It's not our good works. We cannot earn our way to God. We have to look to Jesus, whose body was broken, whose blood was spilled out for us on the cross. He took our place. He took our punishment so that we could be forgiven. We could be redeemed. So have you trusted in Jesus alone for your salvation? You can do that right now. That's a decision of your heart. You need to repent of your sin and turn to Jesus. Call out to him. Speak to him even now in the quietness of this moment and receive him. That's how we trust in Jesus. The most important trust that you can do is to put your faith in him alone for your salvation. And if you have done that, if you have trusted in Jesus for your salvation, are you trusting him with your life? Here and now. All the details of your life, all your worries, all your concerns. Because God is faithful, we can trust him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this. Trust in the Lord with some of your heart. Is that what it says? No. All your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways know him, and he will make your paths straight. Because God is faithful, he is worthy of our trust. We can trust him with all of our hearts and not lean on our own understanding. Not say, I have to figure this out. I think I know the best thing to do. We don't lean on that. We lean on God. We need to trust him. A.W. Tozer says this, upon God's faithfulness rests our whole hope. Only as we have complete assurance that he is faithful, may we live in peace and look forward with assurance to the life to come. God is faithful. So the question is, will we trust him with all of our hearts? In what ways is it hard for you to trust God? There are some particular ways that may be very hard for you to trust God. Maybe with your finances. Maybe with difficult coworkers that you're going to have to face tomorrow. Maybe a decision, a really big decision you have to make about your future. Are you trusting the Lord with that? Maybe it's hard for you to trust in the Lord with all of your heart after dropping your firstborn daughter off to college in a big city. Just theoretically. Do we trust him? Or do we worry? Let's choose to trust him today. Why? Because he is faithful. Second response to God's faithfulness is to be faithful. Be faithful. We need to be, if we're followers of God, if we are children of God, we ought to be the most faithful people. Are you a faithful person? Are you faithful to your spouse if you're married? Are you faithful to your family? Are you faithful to your friends, to your employer? Are you a trustworthy person? Are you a trustworthy person of your word? Can people trust you with what you say? Or when you make promises, do people kind of roll their eyes? Oh, okay. Scholar Millard Erickson says this, God's people are not to give their word thoughtlessly. Being faithful is also being true. Are you committed to being a person of truth? Are you loyal to others? God's faithfulness means God is true. Followers of Christ should be people of truth. We ought to speak the truth. We ought to walk in the truth. Proverbs says this about faithfulness. A faithful man will abound in blessings. Later in Proverbs, or earlier in Proverbs 20, verse 6, it says, many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? That's so true, isn't it? Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love. Well, I. Stop talking and just be faithful. Just do it. We like to toot our own horn sometimes, but it's better to keep our mouths shut and be consistently faithful. So are you faithful? Am I faithful? We need to work on this. By God's grace, he'll help us be faithful. God is faithful. As those who are made in his image, who are redeemed by the blood of Christ and are his children, we can imitate God by being faithful. So what I said earlier is true. I dropped my oldest daughter off to college this week. It was the beginning of a new season for our family, and in the evening of that drop-off day, they had a dedication service at Moody Bible Institute for the students and the parents, and we knew right after the service was going to be over, we were going to have to say goodbye. So my wife and I, we were tender puddles, okay, throughout the service. And the closing song of the dedication service was, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And you know what? It really hit me because I knew this Wednesday, I knew I'm preaching this on Sunday. Do I trust God's faithfulness with my daughter to drop her and leave her, and let her be an adult and make adult decisions and all of those things? It was no small thing for me personally to be challenged this week to trust God's faithfulness with the future of my firstborn. And long before we went to this dedication service, long before we dropped her off weeks ago, Kyle told me he was going to close the service today by leading Great is Thy Faithfulness. Just him and his guitar. We're going to keep it simple. We just want to sing about God's faithfulness. So I invite you to stand right now. Let's stand together, and we're going to sing.